Yacho, what's going on?
Yacho, he called.
Alrighty then, welcome to the Shady Podcast. My name is Shady, and that guy's podcast over there.
Yeah, with the PH.
It's another one.
It's another one. How are you, Mandibela?
Booty, I'm at my ends, but I'm alive.
Okay. Yeah, I need... what you're gonna say, firing on all cylinders.
No, yeah, and fatigue is fatiguing.
Is it? My man, we're almost there. It's mid-November, so not long to go, about 6 weeks. But yeah,
sure.
Fuck that. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
In the building today, let me start with our amazing guest in the house, Pretty Ugly.
No, must call him by his government. You must call him by his government. Ricardo.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you guys?
I'm good, dog.
Come on, King.
Nice to have you on the show. Bro, nice to have you on the show.
Of course,
easy.
Thank you guys for having me.
I've always wanted to ask you about your name.
For sure,
Pretty
yeah.
Ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, what a juxtaposition. What
right, oxymoron.
What oxymoron. Sure. English, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're not ugly at all.
It's been a while since we've been out of school.
So. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't mean it like in a gay way, but sure. Like, you're not ugly, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Real recognized real.
No. Real recognized real. You know what I'm saying?
Why are sure. You?
A lot of hands have told me this yeah? One is cute. You check. Yeah. So what I do is I charge
just a good. Put it like this. He's got great features.
He has.
Yes.
Yes.
He's got great features.
You know, I put it like this. Yeah. You're visually appealing.
Come on, I like that. I like that.
Come on. And he's never fucking out of shape. You know how we always on some. Yo, hey, my man, I'm back in the gym. This guy's never been out of
shape, actually. Yeah? Yeah, this is me out of shape.
With a dad body still.
Come is this on, the dead board? Yeah, yeah. Dog, you don't want to see mine. And before we forget, behind the scenes, of course, we got Noms in the house. Yes. Noms, what's the story? Say whoop whoop.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, hello.
Awesome.
Hello. Yes. And you must pass it back to the guest of honor.
Oh, yeah, the person that took over.
Hey, overtaker. Yeah.
Buga, na ma iPad, manje.
Buga, minang
yeah?
Nan. Buga, minang nan.
Sure, kids.
What's good?
You tell me. You tell us.
Yo, we're moving up. We're moving up.
Yeah. IPad, nah.
We're moving up.
You guys are looking professional.
No, so.
Ricard, that's getting my paper.
Yes.
Get
in
my paper.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Get in my tablet.
He's my tablet. Yeah. He's like whipped us into like shape. So We never had iPads before. Yeah. You can see on the screen we've got like I'm a countdown. He's introduced so much stuff, so we're excited.
Yeah.
It's different for us because we were cowboying. Yeah?
We were. And as you may have noticed, he comes and he tells us to do all these things and we just fuck it up.
You guys are hectic. You guys are so hectic, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, we do it on purpose. But welcome to the show.
Yes.
So no, today, you first of all, you're going to be our co-host.
For sure.
Right,
sure.
So that's how we flow, yeah? We're going to talk shit all show long. Yeah. And obviously, we're keen to hear your insights on things, starting with our first topic, which is a boxing match.
You know that you're starting. Don't get me cancelled.
Yes! Speaking of boxing, bro, dog, talk to us. You watched the Mike Tyson fight?
I did.
Did you watch it, my dude?
Yeah, I did.
Were you watching it on Netflix?
No. I was about to say, I watched it on my phone via someone who was there at the fight.
No, okay, Joel.
Sure. Yeah, I watched it on Instagram Live.
Yo?
Yeah.
When it was about to.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You know people?
No, I mean, it's a guy. Oh, weird story. I don't mean to offer.
Yeah, because like, why are you tuning into niggas' lives?
No, man. It was a guy who I met when I was in the States, I think 4 or 5 years, no, pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And homie, I think was like he's progressed from being an Uber driver to a videographer. And now he's like a promoter in Texas.
Now he's in the space.
He's in the space. So I keep tabs with him. Anyways, randomly, I watched the fight on his phone. So yeah, shout out to him. Random story.
Let me just start by saying, I really wanted to watch this fight. First of all, I've loved Mike Tyson since. I had a poster of that dude on my wall. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Iron Mike is my guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, should I set my alarm for 3 a.m.? Then I remembered there's all the pre-fights and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I tweeted and, you know, like on some, who do you think he's going to win or whatever? And people in the replies were mentioning me at like 3:05. They're like, yo, are you watching? I woke up at 7. That shit still wasn't on.
Sorry
to everyone that stayed up the whole night, but I won't lie. I watched it 7:10 in the morning. It was highly underwhelming.
Mm. Very underwhelming.
Extremely.
Yeah.
So for me, where do I start? I didn't obviously stay up, so thank God. Yeah. I woke up at like, naturally I wake up at like 5, 6.
Sure.
What was more exciting for me were the chicks beating themselves up like crazy.
Those chicks, went in.
Katie and Amanda, they get banged off.
Yo. That was for me the highlight of it. But to get into obviously the main show, for me, it's sad. Everyone can have their thing, pieces, yeah, whatnot to say. That for me was sad, you know? It's a piss at boxing.
Yeah.
And Jake Paul is what his second exhibition was, or his second fight where he's fighting like old guys.
Old guy. Well, he's fought like MMA fighters, old ones. You know, like Anderson Silva. These are guys that are like way past their prime.
Sure.
And then he's fought like Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury is the brother of Tyson Fury. He's more of like an influencer than he is a boxer. Yeah. Like he's married to or was married to Molly May. She's like a full-on influencer.
Sure.
And he's like a Love Island star.
Yeah.
But because he's a Fury, he comes from a family of boxers. So it's like there's pressure there for you. Ah, dog. That guy, the best fighter in my opinion that he has fought is Jake Paul.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He's not really fought anybody rated.
Sure.
And fortunately he won. Because that would have been a fuck up.
So all for me, these things are all like a piss at the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sad that, I guess it's good that he has the ability to, you know, bring in the world's attention to watch this fight.
No, that's for sure.
I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But besides that, you know, watching Tyson, and it's like, it's that thing, dog, of just
the biting of the glove.
The biting of the glove. You see, this guy wants to punch this light. Like, you know?
Yeah.
For me, I was worried when he came out with the leg brace.
Yeah.
I was like, what's happening now? Sure. Because obviously, in the build up to the fight, there's been all these promo videos of him hitting pads, and you're like, yo, the timer is still dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got into shape at the age of 58 that people who are half that age. You know what I'm saying?
Me and you.
So me, I was like, yo, hey, bruh. I was like, all right, this time is showing us.
Sure.
And honestly, what I was hoping for is in round one and round two, that first
over
4 minutes, I was hoping he's going to come out and he's going to beat Tyson.
Sure.
Then I thought, he's old, he's going to get tired.
Sure.
Ah, dude, from the onset, the Paleo is just not performing.
But
the plot thickens because after the fight, there's like news coming out now saying that one of the clauses in the contract was that Tyson actually made more money for lasting longer and not winning than he would have.
Really?
Let's say he came out in round one, knocked Jake Spark out.
Sure.
He
made
less money
than
if he stuck around for the full 8 rounds and obviously lost on points. His maximum earning would have been losing in the last round.
Jeez.
So that me was a bit weird. Okay, so like, don't check me on that. This is why we need somebody that can Google. Yeah. But my thing is, it's sad to see him at this age having to fight for the bag.
Yeah.
You know,
when
you're a legend, I don't believe you need to be doing this stuff half-assed because you need the bag. And I didn't think he needs the bag.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, he's got Tyson Ranch, he sells Zoll, he's got a podcast,
he's got a lot of
merch
things that he's
store.
Doing. Yeah.
He probably earns a shitload per appearance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He still acts in movies, he makes all these cameos.
Sure.
So I'm just like, can it really be that bad?
I think like for his legacy, like, look, the fight turned out the way I kind of expected it.
Sure.
I mean, would have loved Tyson to come out there and like
knock him out.
Yeah,
you know
that would have been
great. If you have the history of watching Tyson fights, like if he doesn't knock someone out in the first round or two, like he doesn't really have a convincing
long game.
He doesn't go long.
You know what I'm saying?
But that explosiveness, that is the shit that we used to tune in for, like in his heyday, dog.
But you know that stare down. Now, yeah, exactly, right?
Jake, look, also, I will say shout out to Jake.
Yeah, because shout out Jamasi.
My man,
shout out Jamasi.
Like, he literally, he fucked the game up with his ingenuity. This guy knows he is borderline average as a boxer at best.
Mm.
But he sells himself like he's fucking the second coming of Tyson.
Sure.
It's an annoyance. He doesn't,
when he actually fights, you get to see that this guy, like, he's not really that good. But he hypes himself up so much to his fan base and in the market of boxing that the money that he generates from these fights, you'd say this guy's been boxing his whole life. You'd say he's Canelo, you know?
Sure.
The other thing is the viewership. Remember, the original format of boxing is pay-per-view. So you're on like a DAZN or whatever, and whatever these cable HBO boxing, etc. You pay to view the fight.
Yes, yes.
In this case, it's the entire Netflix subscription base.
Mm-hmm.
They had like 70 million people watching. So many people tuned in for the fight. Netflix crashed. Because even us here, like when I initially tuned in, I was on the downstairs TV. I'm like, Netflix.
Yeah.
My man, it was on 75% ETR load,
Minus 25.
So I ended up watching I ended up watching it on my fucking phone and on the iPad because it kept cutting on different devices.
Sure.
So for me, that's the bragging rights that he gets after the fight.
Gotcha.
Is that like, fuck you guys, I broke records with 70 million. Facts. Netflix crashed. Yeah. What? I brought a legend out of retirement. But the actual 8 rounds that were 2 minutes each, balls.
Cock, man.
Cock, bro.
For me, it's like, dog, like the guys that are the headliners, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, I think it's dope. I think what people take for granted is like the undercards, the guys who come before that. Because a lot of times the undercards on those fights are really good fighters.
Sure.
No one is really so... I like that because what it does is that it brings attention to...
It gives them shine.
Some of those guys. Just the issue is that people are not watching the fights before that. You know what I'm saying?
You wouldn't have been interested in that Casey versus Amanda fight if it wasn't for them, right? Yeah, if they weren't on the undercard.
I mean, 60 million households is crazy, though.
Speak to me about boxing, my man. Wait.
I'm making a crazy return.
Hold on, before that. There's the Drake bit. Like, the Drake curse.
Oh, God.
There's the fucking Drake curse.
BH is so stressed.
But at
this stage of the game, my man, it's really looking like a curse. That guy wins no fucking bets.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's the type of thing where when he posts that he's got a bet on you, you want to pick up the phone and say, hey, brah.
Like, brah.
Cancel that thing now.
Sure. You're cursing me.
No, but he got it right with the UFC guy, Jones. I think he bet on Jones as well.
Oh, right? John Jones?
Yeah, John Jones.
Okay, but that's the odds on the John Jones one are not going to be as good because John Jones is John Jones.
Mitchell, who is that guy?
Stipe, Miocic. No, he can eat that one.
Yeah.
And also, he comes with that, like, I'm an innocent timer vibe. He's actually a firefighter, that dude.
Oh, jeez, really?
Like, family man, firefighter, and then he's obviously professional MMA heavyweight and the champ. But John Jones is a fucking phenom, dog. John Jones. My man, you fucking with
but
the
best. But that's why Dana, won't stop. Like, Dana,
I also like about him in his time. Post, because he's really matured, right?
Yeah. Sure.
In his post-fight thing, he did such a good job of, they were like, yo, who do you want to fight next?
Oh, the Conor
thing. He didn't want to say.
Your mic, dog.
My mic. Hello, one, two, three, hello. Sorry. He didn't want to say, I'll fight again, but you must fucking pay me, bitches.
Yeah.
Sure.
He was like, well, you know, I'll seriously consider it. And it's really going to have to be life-changing for me, you know, in terms of if I'm compensated, what.
Sure.
And then he made like such an articulate argument about why he doesn't want to fight Aspinall. Aspinall is the current next big thing type of all.
Yeah,
he wants Pereira instead. He's like, we're the same age. Similar fight record and don't.
Mm.
People are saying he's running away from Aspinall. But that nigga was like, why should I fight that guy?
Yeah.
I'm the boss, bro. Yeah. I'm the one with the unbeaten record. I'm the one who's fucked everyone up. If I fight that guy, nothing him in Zelly Fave.
Sure.
He's going to get his biggest payday.
Sure.
And if he beats me, my whole legacy is fucked. To fight some
brood.
Yeah. He's from the next generation. He must fight whoever comes after me type of thing. The pressure that puts on UFC to give him like a fucking maybe a 20 or 30 mil bag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that was also smart. So I feel like it was overshadowed by the Mike Tyson fight. But shout out to John Jones.
Manje when ushaya abantu mfana.
Yeah, manje. Move. What happened in that fight, though? You know, I was watching Ricardo. I really had faith in you,
Yeah, me too, dog.
Because your body said Polo Jung. Your body said Van Damme. And then you came through and then you were Polo Jung. In blood sport. But you bleed like my lip.
Tombo.
Tombo. Warwick.
I thought you were kicking. He's killing you.
I'm being cooked. Talk to us.
Ah, dog. Reflecting on it like maybe like 2 years later. It's just like, yeah, dude, I didn't.
Almost
2022.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Casper's completely let go of that stay in shape thing. He doesn't care about boxing anymore.
Sure.
But even him, he was Jake Pauling the game because when he did that fight, it brought so much attention to boxing.
Because I'll
have you know, we've got like world ranked.
We do.
We've got champs, dog. We've got solid boxers. But
go
they,
to Mtanzane. Mtanzane.
They're all in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah, they're all
now, they can't come into mainstream because you know how it is in Eastern Cape. They've got to leave wherever they're boxing and cross a river, there's no bridge.
Wow.
Except all my Tanzani fighters, Willem. I didn't say it. He said it. He
How
said
are we going to find out about champs? Mastaki, Lepal. They can't cross the river. Ukviga.
Two
boxes drowned.
Hectic. You know what? I can't defend that.
Yo.
But you're an asshole.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway.
Shout out in Tanzania. Yeah. Listen, and I know a few Eastern Cape boxers. Shout out to Tools and Benge. That
Tools
guy,
crazy.
Tools, boxing with the best in the world. Sure. But it's like, a Tools fight is not going to get that type of attention unless it's on like a Casper undercard or Jake Paul undercard isn't doing that.
Yeah.
So I like what you guys did, that you brought your star power to the thing. Kodwa Put, would you say you trained for that fight? Or were you also just like, fuck it, fit already?
I definitely did train, you know, but I had a 5-6 week training camp.
Yeah.
3 of those 5 weeks. One of the weeks I was in Angola, I went to go see my family.
You went to the mountains, shit.
I needed to get blessings now because I suffered from like chronic migraines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just started getting ill in my training camp. So much so that like my boxing coaches and the guys around me were just like, yo, dude, like we don't want anything, we want nothing to do with this fight. Yeah. We don't think you should be doing this fight. I dislocated my shoulder. In the sparring, just a week before the fight, you know, I generally have knee issues.
So you went
in
not your best.
I went in not my best, but I don't think that's an excuse.
No, I hear you, but my thing is, and this is like, I'm on your side because listen, it's fucking hard, you know, like when you watch boxing and you watch people hitting pads and whatever, everything looks cool.
Yeah,
and I'm
fine. I can get it. Even in sparring, you know, we used to do this when I used to train at Smith's. Mm. There used to be like sparring on a Saturday, and I used to spar with my boy Shannon Stradom, and the other one is Ramon. One was like, call him an amateur, the other one was a pro.
Sure.
So that guy, he'll let you hit him, and then you get that confidence, and you're like, man, this shit is easy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, and then you'll just go, papa!
Yeah.
I'm fine. Your nose that time is like, and then you're like, no, fuck.
I think Mike Tyson is like, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the face.
Very true.
It's not easy, man.
And my coaches have told me, they were like, yo, man, at the time when I fought Casper, I was 68 kgs.
Jeez.
He was 92 kgs or so. So my coach told me, he's like, yo, bro, don't try and hit him. Like,
you
I'd box
try
him for the first 3 rounds. I'd run him, get him tired, you know? And
you got in
and
there,
also
the
don't get hit, because if you get hit by a heavyweight, you're going to go down.
Sure.
And I think I got hit once, and then my ego came in. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm not even, my technique is off. Now I'm not even, now I'm just trying to go back for him, you know?
Now you're like, let's go dance.
You know what my problem is when fighting an amateur or when fighting anyone? You could train. Yeah? There's a technique, you're looking at his feet or whatever, like when he punches like this. Mm. If you were fighting like a professional, with an amateur, that nigga can just swing right.
Fuck
you up.
And Casper comes with the overhand right.
Jake
well.
Paul, that overhand right, that's how he drops most of the guys. Yeah. Is that like at the point at which they're tired, he throws that thing and he's that guy's like 105, 110
kilos. Did you see how juiced up he is?
He's big, dude.
Jesus.
He's tall, he's a big oak. So he throws that one, that thing is hitting you, you're sleeping, whether you're a retired MMA fighter or Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I think where the unfortunate part is not everybody understands boxing like that. Exactly. They don't understand that once you get in there. We used to do this thing with Man Cave where Man Cave would verse Espresso Show or whatever the afternoon one. One is Espresso and the morning one is
afternoon
Mereso,
Express.
Whatever. Hey, man, you know. And it was like Yanez fought, what is that brew's name? Irvan or whatever, the guy from his, you know, that Boer guy, my man. That one looks like he came straight out
that
of Bear Grylls.
Right? I saw that,
So Yanez fights that, brah. Stephen Gacy fought Graham, right? Graham Richards.
Yeah.
Lunga fought Katleho Mabui.
Oh, hectic.
So now when I wasn't in that season, right? And then when you're looking at like on paper, right? Yanez is like, okay, me, I've got a tough one, but I'm going to speak to the bra. We take it easy on each other type of thing.
Sure.
Then Surf is like me, you know, Surf Dog. Surf hectic. In high heels. You know? Then he was doing the splits. I'm busy. He jumps on the pole for that nigga. That nigga does. No, Surf won his fight. Surf knocked him out. Then Yanez, bro. Yanez got hit by this bra or Ivan or whatever. It's like when you get in there, the ego thing.
Yeah.
You know, we agree before the time excess or shy. Then and you throw then overhand right to young shy. Then it's like, okay.
Look shy.
I want to show you.
You understand?
Yeah.
Dog, this guy came out like guns blazing. He fucking hit Yanez. That nigga slept for like 25 minutes. He thought he was dead.
Are you serious?
Bro, it was scary. Lunga was taking it easy, thinking Katleho
It's gonna take.
Is Kat- yeah. You know, Katlego's coming with like, I don't fight, like, I love each other vibes. Yeah, this bro in his training camp.
Come on,
he hit the gym. I think he was training 3 sessions a day, jeez. And he was boxing hard. So he prepared really well.
Sure.
And in the fight with Lunga, same thing. Yeah. We agree.
For sure.
Somebody hits somebody. Ego comes in. Yeah. Those niggas are swinging at each other. Lunga broke his finger.
Oh my goodness!
Inside the club.
That was hectic.
Oh, right. Katlego won.
Oh wow!
So
I didn't actually see that fight,
dude.
Actually.
After that. We gave it up as a bad job because there's too much ego.
Ego, yeah.
You've got like those espresso brews, and then you've got these man cave. No one wants to lose, you know?
Sure.
And I mean, what could be worse? Like for me, I was just like, I'm not going to fight in this thing because what if I lose? What the fuck? I'm big in the streets.
No, you see, like for me, it's like, I think what people don't take into consideration, I think I trained harder than like, if you saw me in training and in sparring, you're like, yo, this guy's actually like ready, you know? What you don't take into consideration is like you actually get stage fright, you know. So I come into the state, the arena, and it's lights,
there's
just like this
noise,
and it's just like it's everyone chanting his name.
Sure.
So for me, it's just like, oh. So I had homies who were like, yo, did you see me in the front? I'm like, I didn't see any of you guys. I just have lights in my face. I didn't see anything. You know what I mean?
Next thing, boom, boom.
And then it's just also nerves. It's because bear in mind, this is like it's not like a fight in the streets, dog. We've been in fights.
Yeah,
in the streets,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? But now you're around like influencers, celebrities, and whatever, you know what I'm saying? People don't understand boxing like at all.
Yeah.
So it even throws you off. So even my technique is off, the way I'm standing, my stance. I'm just like, I'm actually nervous more than anything, you know?
Just leave it.
Anyways.
You will not be taking part in any boxing.
I'll take in a contest like Mr. South Africa.
No, but I'm back 2025 though.
I'm back. Mr. South Africa or something. Thing or but okay, speaking about business South Africa, the fuck happened to you see that Miss Universe?
Oh, Miss,
Our one.
Dog, they said she bowed out or she for medical
reasons in sign language or
no, what the fuck, bro?
Old, oh,
yes, like you know what people actually just on that point, you know what people were saying. People are fucked up, eh? People were saying that, no, because... I don't know if it's because of, as a result, because of her disability, or if it's just genuine fatigue.
Mm.
But people were like, yeah, bro, because, like, they've got limited hours in a day, like, because of her disability, she can't operate for 24 hours a day. In other words, she's more productive in the first 12 hours that she's awake, and then the fatigue starts to set in. Because I think with the implant that she has, I'm sure it's a lot of pressure, because now she's required... to concentrate a lot harder.
Exactly.
She's got all these people screaming, talking, cameras, interviews, and I feel like that one just overwhelmed her and she was like, let me rather fight type of thing.
Okay.
And people were like, you know, the thing is, if she had won or if she had gone ahead and competed, remember the more hectic the schedule gets, the more demanding it is of you.
For sure.
And I was very disappointed because, man, that chick, I used to know her a long time ago with our, we had a charity that was about deaf people.
Yeah,
yes. And she was like our chosen sort of ambassador. That is the one. You understand?
Sure.
And my man, she's just got this never say die fighting spirit despite the disability.
Mm.
Now to get to that Miss Universe level, remember the checks that come with Miss Universe competition?
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
The exposure it gives you.
Yeah.
Ah, wapela kone, you know? Yes, and they didn't, they weren't clear, man. They were just like,
it was just a random
questions. They were like, ah, she's out, medical, what? I was like, oh, kajalo.
Oh, well, wish her
all the best.
Well, you know who did well in that thing?
Chidi Ma.
Do we interesting claim her? Story. Do we claim her as one of our
What do we do?
Kajalo, when we said...
I love Chidi. I'm proud of her.
Dog, what did I say when they chased her? Remember I said, you niggas is out of line. Akumula when we spoke about Chidi.
Yeah.
I was like, why are they chasing her? She has an ID.
For sure.
But yeah, she left... She went to compete on behalf of Nigeria.
Begamai
is the first princess.
For me, I always speak on, and I think I even said this with like the Trump story and I guess the Chidima story. A lot of people will tell you like, ah, you ain't got it or you'll lose and whatnot. And it's that fighting spirit of Nzonbonisa Masinde. You know? And yeah, she won. So shout out. She came second.
Second princess,
first runner up. But we did say that no one remembers. We did say that. So
tough position to find yourself.
Tough position, no one.
Look, but I was looking at the stats of like, I think it's like the African winners.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
African top threes.
Yeah,
sure.
We've had a good run.
Yeah, we have.
You know,
I think
Zozi
was
in.
Zozi.
I think of the four, we won it 3 times.
Yeah, yeah. Demi Lee also won 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, jeez. Yeah. Yeah.
Tamarin was the first princess as well, first or second princess. Mm. Then Chidi is in there.
Chidi's in there as
You know what I'm saying? And I think if Mia had gone to compete, you know what I hate, right? Mm. I hate, you know, there's these competitions like we spoke about on the show before, like Miss Alabama and whatnot.
Sure.
Where the person that wins is clearly, like we said in the beginning of the show, when you are visually appealing.
Sure.
They'll choose someone who is not visually appealing, will be fat, and they'll be like, wow, we just love her because, you know, equity, inclusion.
Sure.
In this case, it's like there's an equity, inclusion angle by including Mia because she's not your conventional competitor.
Sure. Definitely.
But she deserves it. She's fucking smart.
Yeah.
She's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The fact that she's, fact that she's deaf doesn't even feature. So it's nice to include Abantu. Without us having to say, only included you because, you know. So I think if she did get there, her answer would have been brilliant. She would have still looked hot, and I think she could have taken it. So it's disappointing.
Yeah, you know.
So
I love Mia. Mia's gorgeous.
I think I've watched too much porn in my life.
Oh my fucking God. It's tainted how you...
No, he kept mentioning Mia.
No, talk to this guy.
So you're thinking Mia Khalifa?
Is that Mia?
So in this room, everyone is familiar with
Mia Khalifa. Everyone was thinking Mia Khalifa.
But when you said it, I was like, oh, that one. And you know what? Let me just say, like, she's like, XA, I won't lie, bro. Like Mia Khalifa, she's mid, cuz.
She's extremely mid.
I think she's mid.
She's a hard
extremely mid.
When she's crying and stuff in her videos and takes her glasses off.
How much porn have you guys watched?
And it's also just like, hey, no, because it's like, what is all the hype about? You know what I'm saying?
She's built a brand.
She has built a brand.
Yes.
She almost died too because she built that brand in a very dangerous way. No, remember, she's Muslim supposedly.
Oh, heck.
So she, like in her early days... That, you know, there's that angle, man, in porn where they always like cross religious boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
And,
then
they make and the she is wearing a hijab and stuff and doing funny shit. And like the Muslims, you know, they don't take that shit.
Oh,
they were like, hey, we'll chop your head off.
We'll chop you off.
You see? So she was like, oh, no, I'm getting death threats and spanbani. And I was like, this bitch, why did you do that? Because let's face it, with porn, hey man, we're interested in the end result. We don't
care what you're wearing.
Yeah, I know you want to come in.
No, look.
I just got in.
This is going to sound
from
very
the
weird.
Miss Universe pageant.
Oh my goodness.
Sometimes, if it's well shot, I actually want to see the story.
Oh, wow. Poor story.
No.
I don't give a fuck.
I'm sure there are people out there who are like, okay, how do you actually get to, you know? It's like, if it's especially, you know, if the production's not nowadays for some of these
hey dog, porn leads the field porn, you see,
the production
that we use here, this is a porn platform.
So sometimes I'm just like, oh, okay, hey, bahlanganela, okay. Then it's like, oh shit, okay, oh then get to the fast forward
then we get to the, so what's actually broken in this house? Oh, washing machine, you know? Okay,
oh my goodness,
I don't know, something is happening there.
No, but I find the storyline so corny. Some of the
productions,
I'm saying, like, it could just be thrown away. Show us your end results.
Listen, some of the productions for some of these porns are dope and some of them are
but you watch them all.
Yeah.
I thank you.
Data's expensive. Listen,
she's like, data's expensive.
I just want to catch my breath. Hold on, shit.
Oh no,
wow. Yeah. Anyways, that's hilarious. Listen,
caught your breath.
So. Random story.
Yes.
I've been deciding like to switch off from some of the work that I do, right?
Sure.
And so I recently went to the movies for the first time in a very long time.
Jeez.
Sad to see that like Stekini Court just was empty.
Yes.
Like I was, movies is always...
I think it was myself and this other couple. They were watching, I forgot this movie, but it was some couple gets shot and he goes deaf in one ear. Then he becomes an interpreter, blah, blah, blah. Anyways. I went there, I think, last week, Tuesday. But so I was like, damn, this is sad. But then what I was excited to see, there's two movies that are coming through. Mission Impossible.
Sure.
Another one.
Yeah, it's the final one. It's the final one.
Is there ever a final
one? No, it is the final one. It's the final one.
If we keep it real.
It's only coming in, I think, in May 2025. And then I've been seeing clips of what's his thing? Denzel's
Gladiator.
Hey, dog. And then, did you watch Gladiator 1?
Yeah, it was not
Russell Crowe.
I was about to say Tom Crowe. Russell Crowe,
I've watched it like 5 times.
Yeah, I think
Maximus.
Maximus Aurelius. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Underrated scene, right?
Yeah.
I watched the beginning one.
Mm, sure.
When I was a kid, I used to read, do you remember Asterix and Obelix?
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
They were the Gauls.
For sure.
And they were always fucking up the Romans and whatever, right? And in the beginning of that movie, you know when they pull up on that hill and they're like, okay, we're waiting for the messenger to come back.
Sure.
Comes riding back, but his head is
chopped off. Yes.
And then that bruh stands on the hill and he's like, wearing a bearskin, looking like a fucking Viking.
Yeah, but that is Varus Meekopmas.
Yeah?
Isn't that Varus Meekopmas?
What do you mean? Oh, wow.
Varus Meekopmas, bro.
Nigga. Get out of here. Yes.
How did you get across the river from Tanzania? The wrong one's bad. That scene that was the Germanic tribes, that's the Gauls, right? They were like the last stronghold. They were like, fuck the Romans, whatever.
Sure.
I thought they were so powerful, you know what I mean? Like in that movie.
But yeah, anyway. Interesting to something to note, there was an interview that was flying Ika Denzel, just speaking on like obviously how it was shooting that space.
Yeah.
And there was that guy who was fishing. I don't know if he was fishing for like a...
he was fishing for the DI angle. The one who was fishing for the queer. What?
Yeah.
I saw that shit. Yeah. This guy, he's like, it's like he was coming from a perspective that I love how, you know, so much queerness has been incorporated. Because you know for the thing in Hollywood, right? Is that like, you've got to squeeze queerness and gayness and trans and
inclusivity
into every fucking story.
Sure.
And in this one, Denzel, I love Denzel when it comes to those topics. Whenever they ask him social justice topic, bro, he's always prepared. He's got an answer. When they asked him about race in films, he was like, hey, you know what? You be you, me, I'll be me.
Sure.
And then we just talk to each other. But you can't force people to talk to each other and get along. So stop this shit, you know? In this one, he says to that guy, we didn't include queerness.
Sure.
At the time in the Roman Empire, that's what was happening.
Yeah.
The issue comes
Bebashayan.
If you read up on the Roman Empire.
I'm out of Bebashayan.
You know, interestingly, before, I mean, I saw this on Joe Rogan. I've seen fucking Douglas Murray. A lot of people speak about the subjects. Is that before the Roman Empire fell, was like the height of the gladiators. Remember, they were trying to entertain the people with whatever they could.
Sure.
You know, kind of just give them bread. And fucking give them games so they can shut the fuck up about all the issues that are happening in the city, you know? Keep them distracted, keep them entertained. And one of the things that was going on before the collapse of the society is all of this cross, like gender just went out the window. You know what I mean? It was all of the sex and debauchery stuff where, like Denzel says in that interview, queerness was completely normal. So you as the emperor, you could fuck whoever you want to on that day.
Yeah.
One of the slave girls, they had to just give because you're the emperor, you know? Or one of the slave Owens. You could tell the guy that looks after your horse, hey, bruh, come here, P. Diddy time, you know?
No Diddy.
So, I like the way that he answered that guy. He's like, he shut him down because he was like, in this story, we didn't have to include it. It was part of the story arc of the time. Whereas in other stories, kind of just gets forced in there. Where it's like, you know, I was watching, there's a new series I'm watching on Apple TV, man. What's this guy's name now? You see, now I'm going to forget the name of the fucking series.
But Ingamla,
Ingamla, face. Look, Chitalu from The Wedding Crashers.
Yo!
Face. Halfway to the show already.
Sorry, guys, my bad. You were saying?
I was saying, yes.
Apple TV, the show.
Yes, this show, right? It's about a cop, and then the cop, it's very interesting. Whatever, he's investigating a murder on an island. Fuck, it's the guy from Wedding Crashers. But anyway, there's a bra in the movie, right?
Russell Owen.
No, another bra, another character that I felt like when I was watching the movie, and I don't care, you know what I mean? If you're gay, be gay. You niggas know me. Yeah. But this character was kind of like purposefully made gay for the the story. Mm. But it just doesn't fit. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know when you're watching and you're like, ow. It's so forced. Even the actors that are playing it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like, chance. This could have been... This was not a necessary part of the story. Yeah. We could have told the story without this bra having to be gay, and it would have been perfect. Now, because you're trying to force in scenes where it's like, hey, look at us, we're diverse, inclusive. I like the fact that, like, what in Denzel in that interview, when they asked him, they were like, yo, were you also gay? He's like, yeah, me, no problem. I even kissed a man.
Sure.
You know, but obviously they cut that scene out of
the movie.
Because I won't lie, dog. After watching Training Day, if I see Denzel kiss a man, I know.
Hey, it was tough, yeah.
It'll be second only to my disappointment in Will Smith once I found out.
I still say that. Don't say that. What else? Anyways. Oh my goodness. when you're talking about that topic, for me, I mean, we're fathers.
Mm. Sure.
Where it confuses me is when they include it into children's content. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I never thought, you don't have to think about, like, what sexuality SpongeBob is.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like when my daughter is coming to me and saying, like, oh, daddy, why are they saying SpongeBob is gay? And she never heard of that before.
Yeah,
you know?
SpongeBob.
Now
gay?
I need to, I mean.
He doesn't have a girlfriend. And him and Patrick, you know what I mean? What is Patrick?
Oh, man, that's
you
a good point. Yeah,
you know what my son said to me?
Yeah.
At school, they made them, there's a movie called, it's the one where, like, there's, I think they're supposed to be princesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're men, basically, in dresses. Mm. I am free. I am what? Mm. What is that movie called? Just check that movie. They know, just say transgender Disney movie.
What?
In any case. Ah, fuck, man, what is it called? The Greatest Champion or whatever. And my son came home, right?
Mm.
That's the song is big, bro. Sure. It's like Frozen. Everybody knows the song from Frozen. So he comes home, he's like, no, they want us to sing this one. I don't want to sing this one. Yeah. Now I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? Then he's like, no, have you seen on YouTube? Because YouTube is like his reference point.
Sure.
Like me, I'm not singing that song, boss. Really? Because, So then I was now trying to explain to them. Then I said, you know, I think I actually fuck that. You don't sing. Yeah. And I have the video.
Sure.
At the performance on the day at the school,
he didn't sing.
There's actions and words. That nigga was like,
I guess
cold.
That's a G.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's my G. Sure. That's a G. Denzel from Training Day. Sure. He's not Denzel from Gladiator. That's what I'm saying.
For me, it's the movie Moana.
Not Moana. It's the other one. It's called The Greatest Showman or The Number One Showman. Just check Greatest Show.
But
I swear, bro.
Guess this
Wallace has a good reference.
This is what Trump was trying to cut off the schools in America. He's like, yo.
The indoctrination of those, no?
No teachers are going to be allowed to tell. What was he saying, man? And thing.
He was saying, like, we're cutting that shit now.
Sure.
Like, teachers must teach. Yes. Kids must go to school to learn.
Yeah.
Sure.
Arithmetic, reading, you know, the three R's, whatever it is, right? We don't need this stuff being forced on kids. Because the other issue you run into, and I mean, I've seen this, I've got nieces and nephews in those teen years, where it's like, we fuck around, we joke all the time. Mm. We're not bigoted people, we don't hate.
Sure.
You say one wrong thing, dog, the child will tell you, get out.
Fact.
You understand? Yeah. It's like, geez, you've been indoctrinated. Like, I didn't mean anything by it.
Sure.
And then everybody has to cower and, oh, no, I'm sorry. I just want to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I was happy when Trump won. I said to PH, like, fucking bring back bullying.
Let's go.
Because I'm sure we had this shit growing up in school.
Sure.
But like, hey, you came with that thing, we'd bully you, my man. You'd come right. And then by the time you came of age, you were like, actually, fuck that shit. I just want to be gay or I just want to be straight.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Mpati. What are you saying?
Who's Tim Mfana? Kuluma Mfana.
All right, cool. So we're going to go straight to the video.
Yo, hold on. All right, cool. We're going
to go straight to the half race.
I don't know any Zordi.
Wilson Bean Corsi.
Just going to jump straight to the clip. And then,
you play, Mfana.
The Zama Zama clip.
That's one.
And they inside. So we're just still looking for him here. We saw his blood there. Technology was actually shooting it at the police. We went inside. We found a lot of guns. We found a lot of grenades and all of that inside here. And we also saw a lot of... This is a huge operation because here we've got Tendukas. What is surprising us is that we've been doing operation for 2 years. We've never seen this part here. even the intelligence of SAPS have never taken to us. But through the JMPD, Intel, we managed to intercept them. We're exchanging fire, and then some of them, they ran inside. So this tunnel goes all the way, but we're going to come back and go inside and look for actually them. We found blankets everywhere. So, and blankets and guns lay inside. So, this is this thing here. These guys are cowards. They go and take videos and show us all these guns and all of that. We told them, we warned them. We don't joke. JMPD Special Forces, they don't joke. We'll fuck them up. And like that. They ran away even now. They left their blankets and food and everything here. We're not going to tolerate lawlessness here. It's going to be fire by fire. You shoot at us, you will meet your maker. Mm-hmm. I tell you right now. And that is not a promise. It's a commitment. We're going to go inside here. We're going to look for you. And I hope this video, it will go to all of those bastards who think that they've taken charge of us. We've taken charge here. We're going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Oh. House.
Yeah. Right. So this is not a promise. It's a commitment. Yes.
When
yes.
I saw this video, I retweeted. I was like, "Except who is this fighter?" Jeez. You know. So he is an MMC for safety.
Mm. Okay.
Batu counselor, whatever. What CMSR? Doctor Mcleany Tswaku.
Okay. Right. CMSR is commissar.
Commissar. Right?
Oh, okay. Dope.
Ubafo, I remember. I think I saw another video of his at the time when they were kicking people out of buildings. You know these derelict buildings around Johannesburg. He was there on the scene, and he was like, "Today people are being removed. Zakari. We don't care." You know, I like his attitude because this Zama Zama thing, dog, has got the whole country talking. Sure. Because you've got one half that are saying, "Shame, they're under there. They're gonna die, and they must be saved. They must. The police must go down and rescue them." Dude, when you look at that cave that Bri is standing, who the fuck wants to go in there? It's dark corners everywhere. It's crazy. They've got the advantage and they've got guns.
Yeah.
Now me and PH go in there, Officer Matubela and Officer Stock, they shoot us in the back of the head. I'm not trying to fucking die. Yeah. These niggas, they have the option to come out in Kotin.
Sure.
Yeah. They don't want to come out because they don't want to be arrested.
Sure.
And the way that the media, Helen Zilla, there was just too many people for my liking.
Sure.
That were ignoring the fact that Zama Zamas are a fucking scourge. Yeah. Okay, number one. Number two, these are not like reputable people. These are criminals. A lot of them are illegal immigrants. Sure. What they're doing in there is illegal.
Yeah.
Remember the Krugersdorp scandal? They were raping 19-year-olds, 15-year-olds. It was chaos. Lawlessness. They've all got firearms. They post these fucking videos on Twitter all the time.
Dancing and stuff,
We've forgotten all of that. Yeah. And we're like, no shame, these brews. And I'm like, except
shame
fuck these brews. Yes. So, Ubafo, yabo mina, I strongly agreed with Ubafo. I was like, Ubachele when Ubafo.
Sure.
You know?
I'm with you, 100%. Obviously, then I just, when I started researching or looking more into this thing, I then found like a conversation where it's just like, first of all, these guys and their confidence, they are signed off by guys benefiting at the top.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I think it was a matter of, because there's so much media around this, it was to, you know how the conversation was like around these guys as opposed to, it was a different power. Or someone, or there were other guys in power with the money. So it was just about deflecting from these guys who were in the wrong and actually focusing on these guys.
Oh yeah, more in the hole.
Yeah, for sure. So who's behind?
We focus them. Who are they reporting to?
Yeah.
No, and you know, like there was an interesting thread of essentially, let's call it. There's this dude I follow. His name's K9 Reaper. Check him out on Twitter.
Sure.
This guy is part of the tactical teams and the anti Zama cats.
Sure.
They go out when backup is needed. They're like a security force that goes and actually deals with Zama Zamas, right? And I think I found the thread on his timeline. But basically what it was saying is, in order to, the Zama Zama goes underground, mines material. When they bring it up to the surface, it needs an off-taker.
Yes.
Otherwise, we mine ela masi.
Exactly,
What you bring up to the surface, somebody is buying. And 9 times out of 10, these operations all funnel back to one buyer.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying? So imagine, hypothetically speaking,
De Beers?
PH and Waras.
Sure.
Entity. We say to those bras, for every kilo of gold that you bring up, a kilo of gold is currently about $75,000. Right? For every kilo you bring up, I give you 50,000 rand.
Mm.
If that bra is able to bring up a kilo, let's say, if these guys are also under there for 3 months, eh? Say that bra comes up after 3 months and he's got 3 kilos of gold, he makes 150K.
Sure. Yeah.
It costs us 150K. We're selling that shit for 1 million rand.
For sure.
But we are the off-taker. Yeah. If you don't sell it to us, when you come out the hole, we shoot
we'll
you.
We'll kill you, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So hypothetically speaking, as PH is pointing to, why are we not focusing on who are the off-takers 100%. Of the Zama Zama material? Because these guys wouldn't be making the trek from Lesotho to here if no one is buying the fucking shit that they're mining, dog.
100%. Because I do feel like, you know, it's a whole orchestration. Because you need to understand that these guys are in the mine, like you said, for like almost 3 months at a time.
Paying 250 rand for a loaf of bread.
There's someone who's bringing food down to them. Sure. There's someone who's actually giving them the guns, you know, the materials. So it's like, we actually do need to get behind who's behind these guys, you know?
They're and it's like guns, eh?
Sure.
It's like, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, nobody looks at... These guys like have got AK-47s.
Yes. Yeah.
If you've got an AK, even if you bought that shit illegally, you're paying 25, 30K for that gun. Yeah. Who is financing all these guns? Exactly. Who is financing this whole operation? Sure. You need tools.
Mm.
You need pumps underground to pump water out. You need generators.
Yeah.
You need compressors. These are all like... You came here from Lesotho with the clothes on your back. Where the fuck
and
are you
with
getting
a shovel? Come on.
Fuck off. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I was reading something that said that those guys, or there's someone who owns that mine and they're legally allowed to
mine in there.
No. Really? The mine...
It's a mine that's closed down.
It's a mine that's closed down.
But someone's bought...
safety reasons.
Yes, but someone's bought that mine.
Like concessions.
Yes. Mm. And now it's like, well, those guys were like, yo, but... I'm a part way to own this mine,
and we are
digging here legally.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that legally it's a very loose term.
Yes.
You know, you can't just go and jump in a hole and start mining.
Yeah. Got you.
It would be nice, you know, like sometimes the pro give back the land team is like, whatever, all the minerals are ours, we should be allowed to mine anyway.
Yeah.
If that mine collapses, and those, they said they're 4,000, but it's more like 300. I was listening to 702, they were like, that's Andre. I was also like, 4,000.
That's unrealistic. Yeah.
Even if, let's say it's 500 people. If that mine collapses and those 500 people are trapped.
Sure.
And they're dying, or they die. That's a fucking tragedy.
Yeah.
Then what? Is the Mpathi of the mine going to say, let me bury all these people and compensate their families? No. That's why mines have got safety things in place. I mean, remember the Marikana disaster.
Sure.
People got paid out because there was liability for the mine, liability for the police. In this one, there's no liability. So everyone is just doing their own thing, willy-nilly, mining underground. My thing is, who is the fucking off-taker? They're not declaring that. And the PR machine... You know, News 24, those my favorite guys.
Yeah.
A lot of news outlets were like, oh, this is so inhumane. And ministers, of course, Gayton said, smoke them out.
Sure.
It's like, smoke
them
out.
That other minister, that lady was just like,
she was also like, fuck that.
No. See, Napo.
And you know what, like, I won't say I haven't liked her, but she's been pretty inconsequential.
She's on fire.
But now she's on fire because her answer was just the avoid timing. Fine.
Yeah.
She was just like, we must go and rescue these brutes. They must come out.
No, I mean, I'm on the side of Lokomisa, the commissioner there.
Sure.
Yeah,
no nonsense. Because like you were saying, like the police are going, SAPS is gonna go in there, you know, JMPD. And it's dark in there. So from where you are coming from, they can probably see you.
You can't see them. And they start shooting because they've got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
And they're literally cornered.
Yeah.
Plus, when they shoot, you don't even know who shot you.
Exactly.
There's 400 of them there.
Anyways, from JMPD to the Navy SEAL. Did you see
SA Navy.
Yeah, SA Navy. Sorry. Did you see how fucked we are as a country?
Bro, we've got one vessel.
We've got one vessel, dog.
Yeah, nah.
And there's what, 7,000 people? How many people? There's 7,000 people that are employed.
Yes.
One vessel that works. And what?
And everything else is broken.
And everything else is broken.
We don't stand
and we've got an entire coastline.
That's unguarded.
You can school there.
Yeah.
Who's watching the coastline?
We don't stand a chance.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We don't stand a chance.
I saw an article about, you know that thing in Cape Town, Barking? What's it called? What's Perlemoon called?
A sour lemon, what?
No, man. That stuff, it's like a fish or a shell.
Abalone.
That stuff.
Yes, abalone.
Yes, there was like an abalone bust.
Sure.
Somewhere,
they
whatever.
They always have abalone busts.
Always have abalone bust. My thing is the Navy not supposed to police that coastline so that we can prevent the abalone heist? Because what does the Navy do?
Mm.
Like you said, I think they defend the seas.
Sure.
But out of all the vessels they own, only one is working. Mm. 7,000 staff. If you've got no vessel to work on and you're employed as a vessel worker, they're getting paid.
Running on the sand and swimming, I guess.
And do you remember that video that trended of the... He's like a senior Navy officer, man. He's in his full outfit, but I'm fine.
Oh, yeah. I've always questioned
that. I was like, he's not in the Navy.
Have
he's
you seen
from
how
ocean.
Intense Navy SEAL training is, like from the States? Have you seen that? Because they like document.
I know, our bras don't like
that. I've always questioned the health part of our officials. Like, dog, I can, especially, you've got a gun.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to chasing me,
come on, you're not gonna catch me.
Officer Masbuk over there.
It's like shoot me in the back also, you know?
There's no fitness requirement. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think maybe there is when you're in the academy.
Sure.
But when you come out there.
If you're a police in training or police officer in the comments, please correct us. Yes. Are there health requirements or
physical
for you to be a cop.
I've got a cousin in the Navy, but he's an engineer in the Navy.
Sure.
Mm. When I saw that, I actually thought of him because I was like, his job is to fix those vessels.
Mm. Sure. But I'm sure. Cool. There's other departments that don't need to be in the sea. If you're saying like engineer, there's tech. There's tech guys who are obviously, you know,
100%,
watching drones and watching the coastlines.
Yeah. The tech guys that are watching the coastlines and the guys, let's call the admin brutes and my cousin and all of them who do repairs, they are essentially working for nothing if the fleet is incapacitated.
Yeah. Sure.
It has to, you know what I mean? The fleet is essentially what we are all here. We are the support structure for the fleet.
Yeah.
And the fleet is fucked. And everybody is still earning a salary. Mm. It's like, at what point are people answerable for it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They must deploy the Navy to go into the Mkoti and take out the miners.
Fact. Yeah. Because there's 7,000 of them. It's like, yeah.
They must come. They must bring. Manabaleta Mans, Aquaman. Don't smoke them out, dog. So I can drown them out. You know what I'm saying, my nigga?
Yeah, listen, Aquaman.
Dog, please bring me some water. I want to speak to this man when I interview him. Bring me some water. Bring me some water.
Is there water there?
Yeah? For the first time in my life, I feel like a newsreader.
Let's go.
Because what the fuck is going on here? I've got my mug, my iPad, I'm a prom.
We'd like to reveal that the guy behind the scenes is actually Sean Ramkissing.
For SBC News, Mkhombe Matubela, back to the studio. I'm Mfana, we are changing. Mfana, you have changed everything here. But anyways, the man of the moment, he's here. Award winning, okay? Come on.
South African Music Award winning. Come on, let's
Ricardo,
get it.
Ricardo Molloy, a.k.a. Pretty Ugly. Big, huh?
Uh-huh.
Pretty Let's ugly, go. Otherwise yes, so, known okay. as visually appealing. Pretty ugly, but visually appealing.
Love it.
Dog, they gave me scripts here, but I'm not going to get into that shit. Like, dog, how does it feel? How does it feel?
Yeah.
How does it feel to, he's busy saying, I won, I'm on my time, and whatnot. Hey,
don't mind him.
How does it feel, dog? Run us through, firstly, you know, getting such an award.
Yeah.
The effort, because I want to speak on the lack of appreciation of, firstly, awards like that, but also the effort that's put into music nowadays and the lack of, call it, lifespan music has and whatnot, and guys don't shoot videos.
Yeah.
There's no rollout for the albums. There's nothing. Mm. Yeah.
That's
stuff,
people don't do that
anymore. A lot of people don't do that. So run me through, obviously, you know, how we got into the album in itself,
for sure,
and then obviously, you know, to the point where,
you know,
to the point where
we won
the award.
I mean, for me, firstly, it's like it's humbling, dude. Like, it still hasn't registered, it still hasn't clicked in, because I mean, for the last couple of months, I've just been on go mode, you know. So I'm sure. self-managed. I do everything on my own.
Yeah, and that's actually what I wanted to say.
You know what I'm saying?
Indie is the biggest.
So I'm doing invoices. I'm doing contracts. I'm reading through things. I still need to go into
all
studio
yourself.
Sessions. Mm, yeah. You know, I'm writing for other artists as well. You know, so it is. So I just haven't found time to even sit down and think about like how I'm feeling. Like, oh, how does this actually feel? Mm. But like one thing I was feeling the night even of the award was just like I was just overwhelmed and just. Sure. I think just even being on the stage to receive the award, people don't understand how much it took for me to even be there, you know? Not to speak about my health stuff, but like I come from hospital. I've just been dealing with like so many things, you know? Life-threatening things, you know?
People,
so for me, it's just like,
People, you know, there's a saying that goes, people envy the reward, not the journey to the
journey,
highest.
Yeah,
So, I mean, what you're speaking on now, like, they never see the back end stuff.
Yeah, like it didn't just happen.
Yeah, for sure.
It didn't just happen, you know?
And for me, and even with us winning this award for this album, bro, the album is titled Dust. So in 2021, I released an album titled Soil.
Sure.
The following year, I had a project titled Mud. Mm. And then now we did Dust, you know? So it's just like,
it's a
trilogy.
You must release it.
Come on.
Dog, you mentioned Dust. Didn't you want to quit?
Can
we talk about it?
We can.
Yeah, like what is the story there? I mean, you said after 15 years.
Yeah. You know what it's like.
Do you regret saying something like that?
Nah, not at all, because I don't really regret anything in my life, though. I feel like everything is like a learning curve.
Shout out, everything is supposed to happen,
you know?
Shout out.
And I'm also like a very spirited person. I believe in God. So I believe in like God testing us and putting us through these tests that you need to overcome. And when I announced that it was going to be my last album, I was overwhelmed by a lot of stuff. Sure. But it wasn't the industry that I was actually like really upset with. It was things that were happening internally, you know?
It was like a you thing.
It was like the structures that I have inside. It was just like... just thinking about my health, I'm like, man, is this something I still really want to be doing? I'm a family person. You know, I'm a family man. I want to be still alive to see my daughter go to a graduation or get married one day, you know? And then the way that things were structured in the time, for me, it was just overwhelming, you know? I was ill half the time. I was just like, people didn't understand how much it took to just even be there, you know?
Yeah.
For you guys to not appreciate or for us to still be like fighting to get on radio.
Yeah, but fuck
that's
them.
One thing I really love about this album, dude, you know? It's like, it's not a commercial album.
Yes.
I didn't go there trying to sell my soul, trying to find the most commercial TikTok song, you know what I'm saying? Doing a piano song. And that's not to say that I don't do that, you know what I'm saying? The dances, the choreo, you know, shout out to my wife.
The drunk dance.
You know, she's a... Yeah, so you saw Jones with the... I love that. I loved it.
Yeah, you.
You know, so that's really what I loved about it, man. It's just like, I feel like... Even with interviews leading up to the summer, I spoke about like, yo, man, this is the summer's opportunity to regain their credibility, you know?
Hey, you can say that again.
Yeah, you know? Especially like after COVID, you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like as people, we haven't taken a lot of things seriously.
Sure.
So we don't take awards seriously. Sure. We don't take albums seriously, rollouts, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And if you follow me, and the thing was with me is that you actually need to follow me to see that we do these things.
Sure.
Because a lot of people will be like, we don't even know a song from the album. It's like, because it's not on radio. It's not.
Or you're not looking.
It's not on. Yeah, you know. Or you're just not looking. But I mean, we're sitting on 10 million streams. So it's
come on.
It's like for you to say, like,
come on.
Yeah.
I say,
you're not the target audience.
What I'm saying? You definitely are not the target audience. You know. Sure. We got two gold-selling singles on the album. Okay. Jaka's about to hit platinum with my Glara Dope Boy. Yes. Shout out to my guy Mesh Beats. You know what I'm saying? And for me, it was just like a big pat on the back, you know what I'm saying? But for me also, it's like that pat on the back is for the fans.
Sure.
Because I've never done things, anyone who knows me, if you followed the music, I've never done things to gain commercial appeal.
Sure.
Or I just stay true to myself and my message.
Isn't that tough, dog?
It is difficult.
Isn't that tough when you're playing in a space of a commercial? I mean,
you're playing like in a cloud space.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you
and
know?
As you say, when you say, I dropped something, people are like, well, if you dropped it then. Where's the TikTok trend?
Sure.
I didn't hear it on radio.
Exactly.
It's like these are the parameters that we use to measure whether me and I should take you seriously or not.
No,
but it's like it's almost like because everything is so fast, no one takes the time to appreciate the quality.
We've parked authenticity in a lot of these things that we do. It's just like let's listen to the bubblegum or the rubbish first,
for sure,
and then we'll get into abo. yo, my man. You know how some people will look at it. It's just like, but yo, here's the quality, here's the longevity, here's something that you could literally listen to in 2 years' time.
100%. Yes. 5 years, 10 years from now.
5 years' time, you know, versus the, a lot of guys are going for the stuff which is the sayings that are for now, the sound that is the for vibe, now in terms of the beat, you know, like, producers. Yeah. And it's just like, I even see it with me in the clubs. Like, there's a song that you'll find, you'll download, you'll play now because it's hot. Yeah. TikTok, Instagram. In 3 months, I'm like,
people are not going to hear that.
There's your lingo? You know?
Because there's so many of them, you know?
Yeah.
I think navigating on,
that must be tough.
It's crazy because, like, I think the difficult thing for someone like me is just finding income streams for the content and for that. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, because it's not. It's not gonna
it's not gonna
be on a commercial for instance, you know what I'm
saying? You're not gonna be on the lineup of festival.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying?
So then a heat wave.
But but then it forces artists like myself then, you know, to be independent and to be resourceful, you know, like don't wait for the lineups, like do your own shows. You know what I'm saying?
Don't
just shoot the music video that's gonna get rejected by the TV platform. Like go shoot a short film. It doesn't have to come in the same format anymore. So I get to present myself differently.
I know you know Youngster, right? Yes, I had this chat with Youngster years ago. Before, I feel like obviously, yes, he eventually gained that commercial side. But he'd been working for so long on so much stuff that he was making available to those who would listen. That at the time he was going, I don't know, when we're having this conversation, he was going to like Amsterdam or wherever the fuck, you know? And he was like, hey, bro, me, I don't give a fuck about this shit. I'm going to Amsterdam, then from Amsterdam, I'm going to Belgium, then I'm going to
Australia.
You understand?
Exactly,
he was doing all the shit overseas and nobody even knew that he was doing it. But it didn't matter because what he was doing, when he got to Amsterdam, my man, that place was packed. Motherfuckers knew who he was. He was like the colored Die Antwoord. You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
It's like, what the fuck? You know? So it's like, when you really appreciate the art and when it's about the art and that quality, I think it goes, the longevity in that, much better. You know?
And like it teaches you like to diversify. Like when you're speaking about someone like Youngster now, you know, like Youngster's been buying out his block. You know, if you go to where he's from in like Weinberg, there's like a corner store that like, you know, that was owned by whoever it was owned by. Bought the whole thing and like they Youngster's mom's store is there, she gets styled by her. Yeah. There's a sneaker store next to it. There's a studio on the other side, you know what I'm saying? If you go down to one of the hotels in Cape Town, I forgot the it's one of the hotels there. Like the staff members, their uniform is a YGN red. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, so in the commercial space, people don't get to see that, you know? But like, I can, you can go book a hotel in Cape Town, everyone's wearing YGN, you know? So it's like, stop focusing so much on the TV. We have the internet. Ricky said it before he dies. Like, yo, man, the internet, they call it now. You know what I'm saying? Don't complain. I used to be the guy who used to complain all the time. Like, yo, payola, the radio station, all these DJs. And it's just like, I also noticed that it's not personal, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like everyone's actually just going through their own thing.
Well,
you know?
Believe it or not, they also, what you're talking about, they're learning that lesson now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's other stuff, there's other avenues.
Let's go behind the curtain. How's life as a timer? Balancing, you know, being firstly a dad. Being a dad, rap career. Husband.
Do you perform at the kids' sports days?
Taking the kiddies' bookings.
No, you know, like, they'll be like, at my son's school, they'll be like, what day is coming up? You know, like the fate or whatever, the recreation day. So the kids are going to have stools and everybody's going to sell, you know, your kid is going to sell lollipops. Right? And then they're like, because it's like a day, who can contribute to what? Then the parents will be like, oh, I'll pay for the sound system. I'll sort out this, I'll sort out that. Then I was thinking, like, imagine if I say,
I'll come and teach.
Just like, yo, what are you playing for the kids? Oh my gosh.
And then I'm like, hey, chwala, bab. It's not gonna work, bro.
No, how's that balancing act? Yeah. No, man, it's for me. It's like,
hey, Ricardo, we hear you into some music.
Yeah, it is like that, right? Fuck them kids. You know, but it's interesting that you mentioned that because, like, I guess after having a daughter, after having a daughter, I just needed
lyrics change.
I needed to consider. Yeah. I mean, the lyrics are still the lyrics, you know, but I've also never really, like, cast my music, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I might cast here and there, but, you know, I'm also...
Yeah, but you're not on some...
Yeah, man, I'm very...
You're not debaucherous.
I'm very, very strict in how I address women. If I do speak about a woman in my music, it's about respect. It's empowering But, like, it made me think about, like, the type of music that I want to release because, like, a lot of the times my daughter, there's a song that I have of mine on the album. It features myself and Buntle. It's called What's the Math? And that is one of the songs, like, where I cast. I don't know. On the album, it's probably, like, the only song where I cast, but it's the song that my daughter loves the most. It's not even, like, a kid... I don't even know why she likes that song so much. Kids do that, dog.
They like swearing.
Yeah, I know. She's actually manipulated. Cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yo, dog, this nigga said the S word. Yeah.
My daughter does that all the time. Like, we told you not to say that.
My son comes to me and he's like, you know what Ethan said?
Yeah.
He said the S word. Yeah. And I say, S word? Which one is that on? It's like, S word. And then I'm like, I don't know.
No, at least he said the S word. My daughter will say, like, Daddy, today, Christopher... He said a bad word. I'm like, really? Yeah, he said fuck. I'm like, okay, you don't say it. No, it's not me who said it. It's Christopher who said fuck. And she keeps repeating it.
I'm reporting what happened. Then I'm like, hey, don't say that shit.
But to your question, bro, no, it's beautiful for me. Like, I'm a family orientated guy, you know?
Yes.
And I also kind of like appreciate my level of stardom and fame because it's still like, It's not hectic to the point where I need security every single time I go to the spa.
Yeah. Got you.
You know, but it's still like, still I still have my freedom, you know what I mean? I'm sure like just like our Casper and the Reese's can't just step into Santon Mall and just,
can't take a shit in public.
Come on, and you've seen them try to ridicule some guys. I saw like a video of Reese like back in the day. He went to KFC and people made it such an issue that he was one. So it's cool because, like, I still get stopped and people show love, but it still allows me to still go to the arcade with my daughter. That's really what I do it for, you know?
Because you guys power couple, man.
Come on, we just celebrated 15 years together now.
Come on, what?
Yeah.
So you guys have been together since you were 12?
Very close, high school sweethearts for sure, married for 5 years.
No.
Our daughter just turned 5
that's
now.
Beautiful. My man, that's beautiful, eh?
Yeah.
And it's something... they planned it, huh?
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. And something on this show that, like, I think the game needs because it's disappeared in today's society. Yeah. It's the M word. What is it, PH?
Marriage.
Huh? Morals.
Oh, morals.
You
what
is it?
Oh, my bad.
He doesn't know. But I know.
Morals for sure.
Morals, though. Yeah. Because it's like, that is wholesome. It's a wholesome family set. So you're doing stuff the right way in a world where... My man.
But you know what's crazy? Because like even when you mention morals, bro, I think like just as human beings, like we've lost our moral compass. Because even in street code, there's still morals. And I think that's why like sometimes we can see like the shit that's happening now, let's say like in Manenberg, Cape Town, because like a lot of the new street guys or whatever, like they've lost their moral compass. So like they're shooting a school kid. After school, back in the day, like even when we were doing those things or when they were doing, they knew that, look, guys, we can't do it in these areas. Yeah. We can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So morals, definitely, bro,
You are bringing morals. It back. Yo, 15 years. Hey, pulling milestones.
Come on, join me. When are you joining me?
Hey, I don't know.
Well,
if we start now.
We're going to hit 15 years. Your daughter is going to be tricky.
Let me be led by leadership and take Warris's route and just
This is the route. This is the example.
Yeah. Smile there for the camera. This is the
As
example.
You can see here, these unread notifications are from them.
These guys have been getting calls from women.
Not ranked once.
Not once.
He just said, babe, I'm in a recording. Yeah. No problem, babe.
Done.
My
done.
One now is like, yeah, hey, for sex and money. Oh.
I'm recording. Me, I'm on do not disturb. I'm like, eh, konje, lona, mele, mfone, le, so please, dog, lead us there by example.
No, of course.
Hey, Tommy.
Yeah, no, no keep
in 15
it,
years, we'll have a conversation.
Come on,
yeah.
Let's get it. I encourage it on everybody, man.
So,
yeah.
So right now, what's up? Like, obviously, the album is out.
Definitely.
Yeah. Is the victory lap of the win still
not even. Like, I think a lot of people were like, yo, man, now that you've got your award, you're in the game, you know, you can kick your feet up. I'm like, bro, I was in studio the next day immediately.
Nice.
You know? So for me, it's like, it's more music, more content. I'm writing for many artists as well. So like a lot of your guys' favorite songs that you guys don't know.
Yeah.
Dope.
And I'm not even talking about hip hop songs. I'm talking about other genres too. You guys could be hearing a song and you love it.
Nice.
Like My Pen is there, you know? So now I'm pushing the publishing bags, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where the money's at.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
So
we're trying to get the sync deals as well. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Doug, weren't you... Okay, you mentioned kicking.
Yeah.
It just reminded me. Nigga, didn't you play soccer?
Yes, sir, I did, yeah.
This man play what? Was it Swallows?
Swallows, yeah.
Training
Swallows Academy. Nah, like I was in the Swallows Academy from under 13 up until under 18.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
When did the pen take
proper,
over?
In that time, let me give you guys context, right? So when I joined the Morocco Swallows Academy at the time, I was still playing for Kempton Park FC.
Mm.
And we had played against Swallows that day and we lost like 4-3 to Swallows.
Sure.
But I scored the three goals.
How bad was the team?
Damn.
No, Swallows at the time and we were Kempton Park FC and I scored three goals against them. And immediately right after that, the Swallows coaches came to me. They spoke to my father, like, and we would like to get the kid. But I joined Swallows, and like.
But then, how did you get out of Kempton Park? Cross the river.
Come on, we got the airport. Yeah. We got the airport there. Come on, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta cross the intro.
I used to catch trains to Herman Immelmann Stadium, I caught the metro and two taxis to get to training every day. We are training every day. And it interfered with my schooling a lot. So I was the only guy that played for Swallows that wasn't from didn't live with the Jans. All the Jans came either from like Free State, from Soweto, and they were all like in a commune together. You know what I'm saying? So for them, I was like, it's his boy. They didn't understand what's so special about this kid.
Sure.
And, you know?
Sure.
So I was already rapping then. It's just that you know, the thing that was more prominent at the time was
Disc,
you know? Gotcha. And the reason why I stopped is I've had 6 knee operations since.
I was going to ask, did you get injured or like, do you wish you could have pursued soccer first?
Nah, definitely. I was actually stronger in athletics than I was at soccer. I did 100 meter, 200 meter. At a point,
really?
I was second fastest in the country.
Sporty Oak.
What
year? And Yazin.
This is 20 in between. So my high school years are what? 2006 up until 2010.
2010 or so.
Yeah. Okay. Damn.
2011, 2010. Yeah.
And you know what we spoke about earlier? Mm-hmm. Models. You could have really brought some of that shit to soccer.
To soccer.
That's a mess.
Yeah. We were saying like a few weeks ago how there's no like soccer couples like rugby.
Facts,
you know what I'm saying? All these niggas are just fucking on some.
And even when I think about like some of the kids that I played with and against, like when I was a lighty, I'm seeing not even one of them in the PSL.
That's
and these were like kids that were talented, you know what I'm saying? So there's definitely something wrong in the development stages. There's definitely something wrong with just like discipline generally. The lifestyle.
It's interesting.
The lifestyle is interesting.
That we'll talk about that and the whole Daniel Dar thing. But I don't want to get shot. Rather move past that and let the court do its thing. Let the court do its thing there. But yo, bro, thank you very much, man. Proud of you. Well done for the award. And well done for all the work that you've put in. Yo, being an independent artist takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. Evenings, early mornings.
Resources,
a lot of
money.
Yeah, resources, time, energy.
Yeah.
A lot of convincing. There's a lot of no's. There's a truck ton of no's.
Yo, a lot.
Being an independent is most probably one of the most taxing things you can do as an artist. But the training ground in all that, I've always said, builds for longevity. So it's a name that is going to exist for a very long time. It's an award-winning name, and we are proud of your work. And shout out for being an example, man. I'm
thank you,
proud of you,
well
my
up,
dog.
Nigga.
Proud
yes,
of
to
you,
15 more years. 15
more
lighties.
Yes. I know about 15 more lighties.
Those kids are going to be fucking super talented. They're going to be soccer stars.
Come on.
Rappers are fun. You are fueling the next generation.
No, man, shout out and thank you for coming through on the show.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah.
Guys, Tony Vala.
Yes, Tony.
I think I heard that you're performing a
Mufftown Heights.
Yes.
Come on, Mufftown Heights, 29th of November, Mary Fitzgerald Square.
Yeah.
That's Coolie and Ophelia.
That's Coolie and Ophelia.
That's an institution.
And I grew up on these guys. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Yes, so it's like, I think it's almost 10 years plus of Mufftown Heights.
Yeah.
You know, if Mufftown Heights that,
was,
you know?
Was when I was at Y. So you're talking like 2012?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, Mufftown Heights and Channel O.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
So come on, we're going to be out there. You know, please come out and support. You know, I'm on the stage curated by Maglera Doughboy, who's a very good friend of mine. You know,
as well.
So it's like, it's going to be a dope balance of like the newer generation, the older generation, and you know, us just coming together and just like, you know,
I've never played at Mufftown Heights.
For real.
Yeah.
Come on, Mufftown Heights. Cool. Let's make it happen.
By gang, like performances.
Mm. Anyways,
everyone.
Those are my people. That's family.
Yeah. Come on,
Mary Fitzgerald.
Always been there. No, not always. It used to be
Mafikeng at some point.
Yes. And then like there by town used to be like Mary Fitzgerald baseline. You know that area.
Exactly that area. Yeah.
Coffee side. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Wandi,
they need the space, dude.
Wandi, no, for sure.
Numbers. Yeah.
It's gonna be a big one.
Yeah, yeah. We would like to keep you for this reaction.
For sure.
We call it "What the fuck did I just watch?"
Oh my gosh, let's get
it. Is that what we call it?
Huh? It's what I call it.
Yeah, WTF did I just watch?
Such a dad. What WTF did I just watch?
But the fact that he stood up still.
That's stupid. Wait, that's stupid. But do you know how painful electricity is?
Nah, dude.
I was cutting the grass as a kid.
Yeah.
And
the lawnmower.
Yeah, the lawnmower. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know when you patch it with the...
Because you cut it under the lawnmower.
Yeah.
Have you been hit by electric fence before?
Nah, no, thank God, no.
Oh. But
dog, I don't know. That cable, dog, hit me on my back. So I think... Either, oh yeah, I was throwing.
Yeah,
you
throw it
behind
so you don't cut it.
Yeah, it was so painful.
No, yeah.
I can only imagine this fucking idiot.
On that mouth.
Dude, I've seen someone, you know, you're talking about an electric fence.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, you know, watch out for the electric fence. This uncle was like, watch out for the electric fence. It was one of those low ones.
Yeah.
And this bro, white team, he shat himself immediately.
No, that thing is, yeah. That thing is, me as a kid, I was like 13 years old. I was at a party with my friends.
God.
And you know, kids, you know, like we do like dumb stuff. We look at the sun, like let's see who can look at the sun
the longest.
So these ladies, we're busy touching the electric fence. Nothing is happening to the gents. So I was like, oh, okay.
Sure.
But they're just touching it. So I mean, I get there. The way that thing hit me, literally, I thought, because we're sitting down, it was a very low fence. And I was sitting down, I had a plate of food on my lap. And I touched that thing for it. By the time I got up, the food was on the floor, but I'm like whining at everyone. I'm like, yo, who kicked me?
Yeah.
They're like, Fritu. No
way. Electricity.
No way. Fuck you. Yo, that thing is hectic.
No, that guy's lucky, eh? It looks like he's pulling the current from the house.
Man, bro.
Have you seen those Izinyoga videos?
Yeah.
You know the ones that...
Where they burn?
They burn, bro.
Yeah, they burn.
They dead, and they don't know they're dead.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. They walk around like, and people are like,
he's dying.
Well, don't be Izinyoga and don't be stupid. Yeah. Anyways, what the fuck did I just watch?
Have you ever tased yourself?
Yeah. No, why would I tase myself?
That's, eh?
No,
why would I? If you feel what it's like,
no.
I hit myself in the leg.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Nah,
I almost shut myself.
I don't intend to.
I'm super scared of lightning, so why would I even?
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, Danzani.
Oh, fuck you. Bye bye.
Yeah, the music video for Too Late for Mama was shot.
I can't take this from Danzani Slander. It's out of the building. Thank you very much. This was my first audition as a newsreader.
Yes.
What the fuck.
Well done,
thank
gents.
You and shout out to Getty.
We got papers.
Galo, siyabonga futhi.
We are out of here. Show some love on the we're out of here. Show some love on the comments. And of course, like, subscribe, share. And we'll see you again next week.
Oh, wait. Take it easy. And if it's easy, take it home.
Appreciate you, King. Love, my brother. Tango.